Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Celebrating our 1,000th podcast weekend here on Talking Real Money. What? We did 1,000 podcasts.
Okay.
Talking Real Money since 2014. It was when we did our first Talking Real Money podcast was in 2014.
Fair enough.
Back then,
Fair enough.
Used to just do them weekly. We would take the entire Como radio show, the 2 hours, and I would cram them all together into like a single show.
Now you stretch them out into two podcasts, and then we do other podcasts.
Three more, and then we do some archived ones, and there are podcasts all the time from Talking Real Money. And we appreciate you listening to them, because you'll learn all kinds of new stuff. Yeah.
A lot of people are listening.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to call us live during the show, the phone number is 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It's free. It's easy. We want to help. We want to talk. We want to kind of make this make sense, because Wall Street doesn't do a very good job of that. They do a terrible job. As a matter of fact, the major Wall Street firms to this day, even though they absolutely know they're of no value to anyone, they continue to make predictions. Every year in December, it's prediction time. What will the stock market do in 2022? Oh, please tell us, oh, brilliant stock people.
And boy, are they ever. I mean, Bank of America says flat in 2022. The S&P 500 will close out the year at 4,600. I think it's
about 4,600 now, somewhere
45 something now. But they said there still be no alternative to stocks. Goldman Sachs says the S&P 500 going to have a good year, according to Goldman. Close the year at 5,200. Morgan Stanley says, wait a minute.
Oh, the S&P 500. Morgan Stanley is not going along with this.
They are not bullish at all. They say the S&P 500 will close next year at 4,400, down 3%. But higher bond yields are ahead. DWS, I'm not sure I know, but they're listed in this article. Another good year, they say the S&P 500 closed the year at 5,000.
You know,
feel better?
Morgan Stanley says down, and yet J.P. Morgan says up.
Look at you figuring that out, huh?
J.P. Morgan. Yeah. And do you know that they were actually once the same company? That Morgan Stanley was spun off from J.P. Morgan?
Yeah. Well, they had a lot of money.
But here's the thing.
I thought you were going to ask for my prediction.
No.
Okay.
Because you know what? All right, go ahead. Give me your prediction.
The market stocks in 2022 will be down in 2022. Do you want to know why?
You have no good reason.
I have a very good reason, actually. Yeah.
You can make something up.
Actually, stocks,
on average,
they go up 3 out of 4 years. You know how many years in a row they've gone up? After this year, because they're up 20%, unless we have a huge pullback.
But what do you count as down?
Like 3 years, 2019, 2020, 2021 have all been up. So you got your down year next year, 2022.
But we had a bear market.
Second year of a presidential.
We had a legal certified bear market in 2020.
Not calendar year.
But we had one. Year.
It didn't happen. We ended up up.
All right. I think your logic is flawed.
Don't you always?
I do. Yes, pretty much. BMO Capital Markets, whoever they are.
Never miss them. Yeah, sure.
They say 5,300. But here's the thing. This is from an article in the New York Times this morning. It's a great article by Jeff Sommer, who's a good writer.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, read some of his stuff.
Yeah, Jeff Sommer's a good writer. And here's what Jeff says. I love this quote from Jeff. Quote, there are myriad forecasts with specific numbers. And if any of them turn out to be correct, it will be an accident.
Pithy, right, short,
to the
succinct.
Point.
I love it.
So
thank
if
you.
Tom's is correct, it will be a total accident. As a matter of fact, here's what I like to do. If someone asks me to predict what the stock market's going to do, my prediction is always, it's going to go up. Because
it does
most
of the time.
I'm going to be right. Mm-hmm. And if I'm wrong, people don't pay any attention to me anyway, so it works out for me. 855.
So you're saying it's going to go up. I'm saying it's going to go down. We'll see you next year. Find out.
like anyone's going to remember what we said. They're not. Not a year from now. Call us, 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Only because it's really darned important. We want to help you get this right, not wrong, like so many do. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but probably the vast majority of people who invest for retirement don't do it as well as they should be doing it. And we want to help you do it right, or invest for anything else for that matter. Give us a call, 855-935-TALK. It's free, it's easy, and Paul just did it. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Really enjoy your show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's up?
My question is for short-term investments, why you don't recommend or do you recommend TIPS, EDF, ETF, TIP, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities?
Tom?
Yeah, okay. So this is like money, like emergency money? Or, I mean, tell me what you mean by short-term for one thing.
Well, less than 5 years or 10 years. You don't want to put it in the market. Or it could be in the next year or two.
Well, there are a couple of reasons. One, TIPS are designed to be inflation-protecting securities. They're not exactly great securities for making money in a normal environment, and we don't believe in trying to predict, and that's kind of what you do. Some people will use, and we have used TIPS for a small, tiny bit of a portfolio as an inflation hedge, period, but not as a primary tool of investing because you need inflation for them to work, but you also need inflation for them to work and stable interest rates. Because if interest rates are rising dramatically and you have longer-term TIPS in your portfolio, they're going to take a hit.
And I guess that would be the point. In other words, they would have more volatility in a general sense than, let's just say, for sake of argument, short-term corporate bonds, which again, is something that I've used, I've recommended. Don and I get into it a little bit because there is, again, some volatility to that. They're still paying a very similar, I think, the 7 to 10 TIP somewhere in the 1.8, 1.9% range. The Vanguard short-term investment grade bond fund is still yielding about 1.8, 1.9. So there's a trade. And by the way, if you had enough, you could sort of put some in a total bond if you want. You could put some in the short-term investment grade bond fund. You could put some in TIPS. You could do that. By the way, TIPS are also not very friendly to taxes because of the way that they're going to be spewing off of that interest, and you end up sometimes paying tax on that. So there's another reason really to only own them in a qualified account. And generally in your qualified accounts, you don't have a lot of short-term money generally. So it's not that we're opposed to them.
We're not.
But again, for just money that I'm going to need in 2 years, that's not where I would put it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, we are absolutely not opposed to them. As I said, we have used them in portfolios, but only for a small portion of the portfolio as an inflation hedge. If you're buying them as a major portion of your portfolio, you're making a bet. And we don't believe in making bets. You're betting that inflation is going to be here for a long time. And that's a dangerous assumption to make. Does that make sense?
That makes total. Oh, you're asking Paul? Does that work?
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call.
Thank you for listening.
855-935-TALK. Chris, it's your turn.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call, guys. I've got a quick question for you. I've got all my money. I still work. I've got everything in a TSP. And with the way things are going these days, I get really nervous every night when I hear, the closing bell. And that's my question. I was watching the news last night, and I saw, how they show the closing bell, ding, 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 and I got all those people up there.
Yeah.
Why the heck are they cheering when everything's down?
Oh. The reason they're cheering is because they got to ring the bell. That's why they're cheering.
They're a new company, a new product, or something going on. That's all.
They're just cheering themselves. They're not cheering the market.
couple of suggestions. Don't watch the opening bell. Don't watch stock prices bell. Day to day. Don't. I mean, I wouldn't look at this. We do because we need to for our clients.
I don't.
But I don't look at my own personal portfolio value, but once a quarter, maybe more often twice a year, because that will make you do crazy. We know this. If you watch all this day to day, it will make you do crazy things. It will make you do things you will later regret because it will get in your head. And right now, it's, as Don said, inflation, it's volatility, it's the virus, it's all of these things, all the bad news that's out there. Got to forget that. Your portfolio is built for the long haul, built for you, not built for the day-to-day news, which will be there tomorrow as well. I guarantee that.
Now, Chris, I am guessing that if you actually see the closing bell thingy, that you're watching CNBC. Am I correct?
No, sir. Unfortunately,
Fox Business. Fox Business.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I knew it was one of the two. Here's my here's the plan. Stop watching. Make Fox Business off limits completely. CNBC, Fox Business, any of those off limits, because Tom's right. They do stupid things to your head, and their job is to do that to you. Is to get you to trade, to get you to panic, to get you to
react,
develop emotions. Yeah, to react. Yep. So, I talk about money every single day of the week. Practically, Sundays I sometimes take off. I never, ever watch CNBC or Fox Business. Ever. I never turn them on because they're bad for your health.
It's investment, what do we call it, donuts?
No, we call them investment cheesecake.
Cheesecake, investment. You can go online and figure out what that means.
Can't use the P word anymore, yeah, because
that's what it is, though. It's meant to excite. It's a short-term, you got all worked up, and by the way, you look back a year from now and think, why was I all worked up about that? That was a bad idea.
And
that's what will happen.
You know, and there's another key to this, and that is remembering how you felt.
Exactly.
In previous iterations of the current situation that you worry about, how did you feel last March? I bet you were panicky because everybody was.
It was
and
bad.
The market went way down and nobody knew how long it was going to last.
No one had ever been through alive today that had been through a pandemic, right? Like, is this ever going to end? By the way, if you told me it was still going on in following December, I might have taken more drastic action, but no, because that's just it felt horrible. So you're right. And by the way, I think it's not a bad idea to write those things down.
Yeah.
There used to be a guy who say, when it gets really bad, write it down and then look at it a year from now and think, what was I? Put that aside.
Again, 2008 was if you're over 35 years old, you remember what 2008 felt like. And there were magazine covers that said, this is the end of the stock market.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was so bad by the end of 2008, early 2009, that the panic was just awful. And yet, when nobody expected it in February, it just suddenly turned on a dime. Remember those feelings, because those feelings are destined to hurt you. 855-935-TALK is our number. Give us a call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Those phone lines are lighting up. At 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, because we're talking real money. I'm Don, that's Tom, you're whomever you happen to be, and we're glad you are whoever you are. Thank you for being you.
I mean, Mr. Rogers now or something? Come on.
Won't you be my neighbor? Hey, Ross, won't you be my neighbor? Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Our new best buddy. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing good. I enjoy your show, man.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
Tom and Don. Tom, just a quick question. My wife and I have a 401k worth about $75,000.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Dollars.
Okay. Dollars,
and,
not yen.
I would like it.
Turkish lira? No, okay. Go ahead.
Maybe dinar, because my son is in Saudi.
Oh, well, okay. All right. There you go. I don't know what the dinar dollar exchange rate is, though, so I can't help you.
Well, it's 2.5 something.
But you do.
All right, go ahead, Ross.
We got 75,000, and I'd like to place, it is a 401k, and I'd like to place it in IRA or the other one.
Ross?
Well, Ross.
Are you still participating in this 401k?
Yeah. Right now, although I am 69 and we're still working.
Oh. Okay. What kind of investment options? What kind of investment options are in your 401k, Ross?
I really don't know, but Merrill Lynch is in charge of the 401k of Walmart, and we are an employee of Walmart.
Okay, all right. You probably have to leave it alone if you're still working and participating.
Well, it depends on the company. Sometimes
I don't know what
after
Walmart does.
So that you'd have to do, Ross, what we call an in-service distribution. You'd have to move money out of a plan that you're still contributing to into an individual retirement account. And I'd be surprised, by the way, if Walmart, even though we're not fans of Merrill Lynch, doesn't have a pretty decent retirement plan. I mean, they probably have a target date fund. They must have some index funds, et cetera. But so yes, you generally at your age of 69, you're allowed to move that out and still put money into the 401k at Walmart. Is that your question?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we are contributing monthly on this 401k. And for over years, we were able to save this 401k up to $75,000. And, we still have a stock at Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at their options here, and it's great. Actually, their options are pretty darn good because they use BlackRock, which they own, or at least did or something.
No, I don't think they own them.
But they
okay,
had something to do with them. Anyway, they're using BlackRock, and they use target date funds. So I'm wondering what the benefit would be. The only
how about the nice 2025 target date fund for you, Ross?
Yeah, they have a nice 2025 target date fund right here. I'm looking at it, and it looks like it's well run. It looks like the fees are very reasonable. I don't see any reason why you would want to make a change. I really don't. I can't see any big benefit to you in doing that at this juncture. Maybe down the road when you're no longer working there, but I'd probably leave it alone. Thanks for the call, Ross. We really appreciate it. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. The only benefit that comes to mind when I'm thinking about taking an in-service distribution from a 401k, if you don't have a Roth option in your 401k, would be the fact that you wanted to recharacterize it or transfer it to a Roth. Unless you're in a high bracket.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to do that probably while you're working because then you're going to be paying a higher income tax amount. And in fact, at 69, you don't have very many years before you have to start taking it out anyway.
Right.
So I don't think there's a lot of reason to move that money over. And generally, by the way, we see people that move it over that do this on their own oftentimes make bad decisions about what they own after that.
I got to tell you, if you've got a target date plan in your 401k and it's reasonably feed, then that's probably the default choice for most people. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
41 degrees. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
We know you want more money. We do. We know that for a fact. because that's what you call about. I want more money. Give me more money. We're going to try and help you get more money, but we're going to try and help you do it the right way, not the wrong way, because there's definitely a wrong way. Ask anyone who worked with Bernie Madoff. That was the wrong way.
Or anybody who has, what was it?
Enron.
We'll talk about this in the podcast. That and gold bars in their IRA locked up at home.
Yeah. Or come Bitcoin. 855. I guess I snuck that in really fast and then went on to the phone number.
They had a great day yesterday, didn't they?
855-935-talk. 855-935-8255. Call us. We still got lots of time. And JB, you're up next. Hi, JB.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. What's up, man?
I have two young children, and my father wanted to invest $5,000 each. I have a 10-month-old and a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was trying to wait some options.
I'm sorry?
I was just trying to weigh some options out. What would be a good way to invest for them for
what?
When they turn 18?
What? That's the question. Do we want this for when they turn 18, or do we want this for future education?
Higher education, or actually in secondary education today. Mm-hmm. So what's the purpose?
I'm not sure we have a purpose yet. It's just get this money to start working for them.
My suggestion would be education, because the wonderful thing about a 529, if you give it to them in a UGMA account at the age of majority, now I want you to think back to when you got out of high school. And what you would have done if there was,
if
like
you can remember,
$30,000 sitting there. What would you have done?
Right.
Nothing
smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Bingo.
So, but there's a thing called a 529 plan that allows the grandparents to control the account, but in
their money.
But for the kids' benefit in the future. And it can be for high school education. Private school. Mm-hmm. It can be college. It can also be for trade schools, apprenticeship programs, all kinds of things that can put your kids in great stead as an adult.
But the education then has to be core. In other words, you can't take that money out and buy a car because you're going to pay tax on it. Right. That wouldn't make sense. So if you said, no, this is just money. So when they turn 18, they can go live their life, whatever. Then a uniform gift to minors act. Yeah, you could go to Vanguard, open that. You could put it all in VT and get on with your life.
Simple. With the 529, though, see, whoever is in charge of it starts with the grandparents, maybe then the parents, if the grandparents are no longer there. They get to decide what it's used for. It's not up to the kids to say, I want it. No, you get it. It's for college. It's tax-free.
And if they didn't spend it, then they could pass it on to another relative, too, right. By the way. So it is transferable. So
I would have them look at my529.com for the 529.
Is that Utah?
That's Utah.
You could type in Utah 529 if you can't remember my 529, but my 529 is pretty easy.
It's really easy.
I know. Okay. I'm just saying. I'm trying to make it simple. It's a great question. By the way, I think this is fabulous for the holiday season.
Uh-huh.
This is something I do for my kid, my grandkids now. I throw money in each one of those 529s better than all the rest of the stuff you're going to buy.
Yep,
and
that's what I'm doing this year for all of my grandkids. They're all getting 520. Well, okay, I've got one grandkid, and my daughter for some reason doesn't want to share his Social Security number.
Well, you're pretty threatening. I can see how that might be a problem. You'd hack in, open a new credit card, run it up, and then walk away. So
yeah, because you do actually have to have the child social. So I'm going to try and convince her that that's actually in his best interest to share that with me.
There's a thing called trust.
No, she doesn't want it. Household she's worried about that? It getting out there. She doesn't want to give it to anybody. She's worried about
write it down and leave it on your front doorstep or something?
I think she thinks if it gets into some account somewhere that somebody somewhere is.
Wow. She got the shades drawn down and all that kind of stuff.
She's a good soul. But. Yeah, it's a great present. And what you could do, too, is get that 10-month-old a job. Get them some 1090.
Wait a minute. What? Okay, now, Mr. Grinch, you've really come out of the 10-month-old.
And fund their Roth IRA for Christmas.
You're going to go out and push other people's strollers or something? I mean, I got a part-time job walking dogs.
Maybe it's a gorgeous baby. You can get it a commercial or something. A little modeling gig so they have earned income. And then they can have a Roth IRA. I'm kidding. All right, thanks. We'll be back, 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
The calls are just rolling in like mad today. 855-935-TALK is the number to use. And if you don't get in during the live show, you can call us anytime and leave your question. Or you can go to TalkingRealMoney.com and record it in really high quality if you have a great mic. If you have a good mic.
I'm getting – okay, I'll buy – what's a really great mic,
No,
Don?
I'm just saying it's a good – just any decent mic. Okay. Even a Yeti.
They're going to use their phone, bro. Come on. All right. You kidding me?
Well, iPhones have pretty good mics. What was the number again? Oh, 855-935-TALK. We still have a lot of time, and Dylan is our next caller.
Dave is our next caller.
Oh, Dave.
Saving you again.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, Dave.
Dave's here. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave, not Dylan. Yes.
Yeah, Dave.
Hi, guys.
There you go.
We've got about $200K in a savings account at the moment from a real estate transaction that all the dust has settled and whatnot. And well, it's not necessarily intended as, or we're not looking to it as long term, nor are we sitting here thinking, hey, we need this in 1 to 2 years. We would like it to maybe generate a couple of points to maybe pay the real estate tax on the house each year until we know what we're doing with it. What are your thoughts on that? I don't want to just have it sitting in the credit union to kick off 2022.
Okay, so I want to make sure I got this straight. This is money you are going to start pulling on in the next year or so. I mean, you're going to start pulling it out, paying the real estate taxes on a property.
Right now it's just sitting in a savings account. I would like to, you know, put it someplace, maybe a three fund.
Okay, let me translate. Let me try and translate for Tom. I'm going to try and do my translation.
Listening.
Right now it's making nothing in a savings account.
Yeah,
not sure what you want to do with it. It's not long term. It's not short term. You want to make more money with the money, right? So far, so good.
Yep, and I'm not looking to be wildly speculative. If we could get
four percent, easy 4%, Don.
How much risk are you willing to take? How much money are you actually willing to watch go away in a short period of time without you being able to possibly predict when that will happen?
Of the 200,
how much of it can you watch go away?
Good question.
Well, I could watch some of it. My other half.
Give us a number. Come on.
Yeah. Give us a wife number then. Give us a wife number, not a you number. Because you got to live with her. What's the wife number?
Probably 15 to 20%.
Okay. So $30,000 could go from 200 to 170 and you'd be okay.
You'd sit tight. Correct?
Yeah, I might be on the couch, but I'd
sleep tight on the couch. It's the holidays. That's a kind of a normal thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, before it goes down, buy a more comfortable couch. Then
okay, all right.
Now we have a plan. Potential plan because then you can probably put somewhere around 20% of that money in a maybe even 30 in a diversified equity fund like the Vanguard Total Stock Index or VT.
And V is in Victory, T is in Tom.
And the
yes.
other half. In
no,
a,
you just said 30%.
I mean, the other half. The other 70%.
70, 30, 10 again? Yeah, okay.
Not 10. And you could put that in like BND, the Vanguard Total Bond Index Fund. Because historically, the worst case scenario for those two has been about a 15, 20% decline.
Yeah, right.
If and you that can't could take happen that again. Much, then mm-hmm. make it 20-80 or even 10-90. But if you can stand a little loss, then you can probably make that 4%, maybe even 5% over several years, and it will generate some income. All right. Thanks for the call. 855-935-TALK. Dylan, you're next. Welcome to the show. Dylan?
Am I on?
You are on, yes. Dylan.
Oh, excellent. Hey, number one, I just tuned into you guys. I think, I'm sorry to say, for the first time, and love it. And I tuned in when we were talking about 529s for kids and talking, and then you threw in there at the end, which is what I love too, about Roth IRAs and possibly hiring your kids to do some of that, because really thinking outside of the box, you can do some amazing things for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, I'm not sure if you guys had talked about before, but, you know, I've recently got it in my, you know, insurance license, and, you know, leveraging insurance as a kind of a, you know, safe savings plan, and, you know, using Index Universal Life, or even for the last call.
Oh, dude.
You are doing so well, too, Dylan. It was looking like you're going to go out on a high note.
You are totally going to hate the show after we get done here. You're going to just hate.
We're listening time.
So this is the Dave mindset more than anything. So that's okay.
You're going to hate us because we despise with a white hot passion any indexed universal or annuity product, because they are designed, and if you just got your licensing, you probably don't even know this yet. They're designed as one of the biggest lies the money industry has ever told anyone. Ever.
Which is?
That you can get a high return with no risk. And you, do you, by the way, have you ever sold one?
I have a couple in the works right now.
Okay. You know, have you told your potential client what the surrender charge is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All that stuff has to be up front that they understand.
No,
that
nobody. Okay. What's what is the surrender, the first year surrender charge on your annuity or your universal?
I mean, obviously, it just depends on whatever amount is, but it's a massive number. It's like probably 9%.
Right. Right.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And
absolutely,
what is?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is the what is the return you quote to people?
Well, I think the honest way to do things is, number one, show people worst case, which is zero, right? And so, like, your principal, you make nothing over the course of this period if the market did zero. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Looking back also 10 years is also really important to say, what did the market do in the last 10 years? And then, you know, kind of what's a good scenario? And so we can look at the middle and say, look, let's be reasonable.
What's the middle?
But I would say the middle's 4 to 5.
That's a high middle based on historical reality. The middle's been 3 to 4. And the reality of these products is they are mis-sold to people because you don't get the returns of the market. You get a fraction of the return. You've got caps. You've got confusion. You've got complexity that 99.99999999% of potential clients don't understand. They don't read the disclosure documents. They don't understand that they can't get out of this thing. Sometimes we've seen annuities where they had a lifelong surrender fee. We will never ever see eye to eye on these products. We think they're perfect for the insurance agent, and we think they're awful for the insurance client, and we really appreciate your call. Thanks for listening. And we'll be
what
back
a way to
in,
end
in
the
a minute.
Show.
Stick around. There's more Talking Real Money. Not a lot more, a little more after this.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And just look at, you know, folks, look it up online. Look up indexed annuity or indexed universal life online and see what almost all the reviews from the news media say. It's not just us.
They're negative. Negative. And by the way, there's great ways to finance your retirement with proper financial planning, estate planning, learning about the health, housing, all of that. And it's coming up Saturday, February 26th in Bellevue and online. You can register right now at retiremeet.com. Com, because it's going to be a great event.
Yeah,
I guarantee that.
And I guarantee you, nobody's going to sell you an insurance investment product there. Nobody. Just go to RetireMeat, M-E-E-T.com, not M-E-A-T.com, RetireMeat.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?